Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSURP show. Now, let's get into the show.
With a couple more countries left, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 6 countries on there, and then there's a bunch of the FIFA playoff groups that they're going to seed as well. When do those play exactly?
Those will play in March.
So some teams that are in the countries that are in the playoffs are like Italy, Northern Ireland, what was it, Wales, and who else?
Bosnia. That's the group B. That's the UEFA B A playoff, which would go, the winner of that would go to group B. Sorry, I'm trying to pay attention to who's going where.
So we're going to have that full breakdown for you later on the show. Drake Hills will join us at 1:35 talking about the World Cup and the seedings that they have. It is now time, as we do every day at 11 o'clock, and we try to give you as much baseball content as we possibly can during the offseason, but a slow offseason, especially right for the winter meeting. Like, next week's going to be a little bit easier with the winter meetings. We're going to have Sam Levitt live out there at the winter meetings. He'll join us a couple of times next week to give us all the information he is hearing in Orlando at the winter meetings, and we'll probably get a little bit more news. And coming up later on this hour, there's a lot of information that Jeff Passan and Buster Olney passed along in terms of what they're hearing around the rumor mill and some information about Michael King that we want to talk about. Might give the Padres an opportunity to potentially bring him back. We'll talk about that later on this hour, but it's time to dive into what's going on and what's trending on the rumor mill, free agents and trades in Major League Baseball.
All right.
So while we get that going, Cabo Verde just went into Group H, if you want to get on that while I'm reading this. Going up the list here.
I've never heard of that country before, ever.
The Pirates have traded Johan Oviedo to the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox continue reshaping their roster by acquiring right-hander Johan Oviedo for the Pirates in a 5-player trade per MLB.com's Mark Feinsand. Boston also received prospect Tyler Samaniego, I'm guessing. Sorry, left-handed pitcher. And Adonis Guzman, the catcher, while Pittsburgh receives MLB number 85 prospects. It's the kid they called the password, I believe. Garcia. and right-handed pitcher.
Why? Because his name is spelled J-H-O-S-T-Y-N-X-O-N?
Yes. I don't remember how to pronounce it. I'm sorry. I'm not even going to hurt myself. It's the password.
The password.
And right-handed pitcher Jesus Treviso. Sure. Oviedo, under contract through 2027, has been effective while healthy, posting a 3.57 ERA in limited 2025 action after missing all of 2024 due to Tommy John surgery. The move follows Boston's earlier additions of Sonny Gray as the club continues to fortify its rotation.
His name would be Joe Tinson.
Joe Tinson Garcia.
The pronunciation on Baseball Reference is capital J-O-E-S dash lowercase T-I-N dash lowercase so, S-O-N.
Joe Tinson. Have a normal name.
Joe Tinson Garcia.
How about have a normal name? Let's try that one.
I mean, how about just spell it Joe Tinson? What's with the X's and the T's and the Y's and everything like that?
The password.
Joe Stinson. The password. All right. So, Red Sox get rotation add. Their rotation's actually getting pretty good right now. They already had Garrett Crochet. They traded for Sonny Gray. They add Johan Oviedo. And you know what? They're starting to put things together right now. Before the winter meetings. Not a bad move, I think, for the Boston Red Sox. Pirates get some more prospects. Where have we heard that before? The Pirates always just get a bunch of prospects. That's what's funny when we saw... What was that list we went over? It's like potential fits. It's all these big names. Like, oh, the Pirates.
Yeah.
They're not... Come on. Anyway. That's his nickname. DJ Royal, that's his nickname. His nickname is the password.
Yep. No, it was. That was the big thing with him coming up. Teoscar Hernandez could be on the move. Teoscar Hernandez has surfaced in trade discussions per The Athletic.
Surfer too?
Yes.
That's kind of sick.
Did I say that?
You said he was a surfer.
Has surfaced in trade discussions per The Athletic, isn't considered likely at this point. Hernandez remains an appealing offensive piece after hitting 25 home runs in 2025, adding five more during the Dodgers championship run, though his defense continues to be a concern after posting -9 outs above average in right field. Even so, with few right-handed power bats available, teams may be willing to overlook the defensive issues. His contract salaries of $12 million in 2026 and $14.5 million in 2027, with deferred money and a conditional 2028 option, is complicated, but it's not expected to be a major obstacle for clubs who are interested.
I'm curious to see why Teoscar Hernandez would be traded. Was he trying to save some money?
I mean, if they're looking for an upgrade, you need to find somewhere for Bellinger to go, would be my guess.
Yeah, that's another thing. That's the other thing with the Dodgers, too. It's like, they could just go get the best guys every time. Well, you know what, Teoscar? You were really good the last couple of years, but...
I ain't gonna lie. You helped us for a little bit, but that time is come and gone.
And so now, we don't need your services anymore. The Dodgers do that a lot. They don't, like, really keep guys around anymore if they don't think that they can help the team out. So... He's not great in the field. He was a disaster last year in the field for the Dodgers. So he's got some options in there too, and the deferred money. The deferred money's interesting. Now they're going to start trading away all the deferred. Maybe they got to trade away some of his deferred money before the CBA.
I mean, if his bat is still there, I don't see why a team can't get him as a DH.
See, that's the thing with the Dodgers. That's the only like pigeonhole with LA. I mean, most of the stuff benefits them with the Ohtani deal, but the problem with Ohtani is he doesn't play in the field and you need his bat in the lineup, so you can't have, like, you can't move guys to DH.
Yeah.
So Teoscar Hernandez, they don't have room for DHs. He has to play. That was, like, the situation that they had with Freddie Freeman in the postseason a couple years ago when he was banged up. It's like, well, he has to play first because we can't have him play. he can't be the DH, but we'll see. It's an interesting move, potentially, for the Dodgers. I'm curious to see what they do this offseason, try to win three World Series in a row.
Yeah, well, off you go. World Cup group draw is done. We'll get you those in a little bit. The Blue Jays.
USA's got a pretty...
They can navigate
group. That for sure.
Blue Jays hosting Kyle Tucker for a visit. Four-time All-Star Kyle Tucker, this offseason's top free agent, was reportedly seen visiting the Blue Jays Florida complex on Wednesday, per Mark Feinsand. Toronto, already one of the most aggressive teams this winter, landing Dylan Cease on a 7-year, $210 million deal. And it's agreeing to a 3-year, $30 million contract with KBO MVP Cody Ponce, appears to be making its pitch for Tucker as interest in the star outfielder continues to grow across baseball.
It's always been a problem for the Blue Jays to sign free agents. They haven't been able to do it. Now, they got Ponce, and they grabbed him from the KBO, right, coming him back.
Mm-hmm.
The big one to me is they got Dylan Cease to go there. Because they've always been close, and they've always been the bridesmaid, not the bride, when it comes to a lot of these free agent pickups. Mm-hmm. If they can land Kyle Tucker, that would really flip the script.
Yeah, it feels like it's turning.
It'd feel like they're like, hey, look, I think maybe them making it to the World Series might have enticed a lot of potential free agents. And knowing that they have their young guys signed under contract, they're still waiting on Bo Bichette, obviously, and it sounded like Toronto wanted to bring him back. But with Vlad Guerrero Jr. being a part of the team for a long time, they improved their pitching with their starting rotation and going to get Dylan Cease. And if they go get Kyle Tucker, I mean, they're out there, they're balling out in Toronto. I'd love to see Kyle Tucker. Put as many of those guys on the Blue Jays as possible.
Yeah.
That's a team that the Padres only got to play three times next year. Go ahead, load up the Blue Jays.
It also looks like the Chicago Cubs have reportedly made a 4-year offer to third baseman Alex Bregman before he ultimately signed with the Red Sox. So that's
talking before last year. Last offseason, the Cubs made a 4-year deal, a 4-year offer for Bregman, and now it looks like they're going back at it again. So the Cubs are back in on the Alex Bregman train as they work towards this offseason.
That's interesting. I like the part with the Alex Bregman news where he's like, well, he wants to stay in Boston. Well, he could have.
Yeah, he could have.
He had three more years, $40 million a year for the next 3 years. Mm-hmm. And he could have worked out a contract extension after that. But he decided to opt out for more money. Gotta get $40 million a year. Everybody wants more years than the money somehow.
But from everything I'm hearing, and it's very, very interesting this year as compared to the last couple of years, it sounds like a lot of these deals for big-name players are going to be done next week. A lot of guys wanting to get done before the winter meetings end, which has been very, very different from these last couple of years.
Yeah, the takeaways, a lot of good takeaways. Jeff Passan and Buster Olney laid this out in their article today. They got asked a lot of questions on ESPN.com, and they answered a lot of them. But it sounded like Kyle Schwarber is the centerpiece of the winter meetings. And as soon as he signs, everybody else is going to start signing. And the thing is there's always been a guy like that, right? There's always been a guy like that. And for the last couple of years, it's been a guy that's willing to sit out for a long period of time. I don't think Kyle Schwarber is a guy that's one of those. He's not a Shohei Ohtani type, right? Where he's looking for the bet. Like, to me, Kyle Schwarber's not like that. What are you freaking out about?
We have the Village People on stage.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I see that. The Temptations played last night at halftime of the Detroit Lions-Dallas Cowboys game.
Yeah, which Amazon showed all of 5 seconds of.
Why are you doing a halftime show for a random Thursday night game? That's my question. All right. There's some interesting news and notes about that. Some kind of a winter meetings primer. We're going to tell you what Jeff Passan and Buster Olney have been reporting. There's a lot of good info behind the scenes that we're going to get to when we come back on the Brayden Soprano Show, San Diego Summer Sports Station 97.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The fan. Interesting article today by Jeff Passan and Buster Olney that lays out some of the news and notes around Major League Baseball, but also what they're hearing on a couple of things going into the winter meetings. Winter meetings are in Orlando. They're expected to explode with activity, but obviously this year's storyline isn't one massive star like Juan Soto last year or Shohei Ohtani the year before that. The offseason is being shaped by some tight budgets, labor uncertainty, a clogged free agent market, and the domino effect of what I guess it sounds like, according to Jeff Passan and Buster Olney, Kyle Schwarber's eventual signing. Buster Olney and Jeff Passan outline a landscape where elite players will still get paid, but many traditionally aggressive teams are tightening up, pushing the league toward more trades than mega contracts. Before we dive into that, just the whole mega contract thing, I think we're running out of players that deserve mega contracts at this point, Frank. I mean,
yeah.
And I think a lot of teams are starting to realize it's like there's no reason to get a mega contract to some of these players when you know they're going to age and you're not going to get the more bang for your buck. I think the market's starting to shift a little bit when it comes to some of these deals.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, it was stupid to begin with, but especially if you are going into a salary cap era, there's no reason now, if you're an owner, to lock these guys up on massive contracts when you could do it in a couple of years on much more affordable deals. It makes no sense.
So with that being said, here's some of the biggest takeaways and notes that Buster Olney and Jeff Passan are reporting. They think Schwarber is the biggest domino that will break the market. So somebody asked earlier, why are we talking about Schwarber? He's not going to sign here. Yeah, dude. Well, he's going to set the market. So you really can't make a lot of moves until this guy signs. And once he signs, then everybody else is going to sign. That's kind of how this works in every offseason, Frank, is it not?
Yeah, there's usually one guy that sets the market, and then everything else goes from there.
We knew Juan Soto wasn't going to sign with the Padres last year, but a lot of big-time bats can't get moved, or players can't get moved until that number one bat moves. He sets the market. And right now, Kyle Schwarber, according to these guys, Buster Olney, Jeff Passan, is the centerpiece of the winter meetings. Teams across both leagues, Phillies, Mets, Blue Jays, Reds, Pirates, Orioles, and Boston are all waiting on him to make their next move. He's expected to have a five-year deal even though he's at age 32. And once he signs, they say the offseason will pick up demonstrably. Passan's big rumor. The New York Mets could push the Phillies into the Schwarber bidding. Even if they don't plan to sign him, they might inflate Phillies' price. We talked about that yesterday, did we not? Or maybe a couple of days ago?
Yeah.
I didn't see him as a fit for the Mets, but I thought the Mets could get involved to try to make the Phillies have to pay a little bit more money than they would like to bring in a guy like to bring Kyle Schwarber back. So I think there might be some of that being played in this particular deal as well. To me, looking at the situation, I think Kyle Schwarber, I think Boston's going to sign him. I think it's either going to be Boston or Philly. I don't think he's really anybody else. I know close to home with the Reds. I just don't see Kyle Schwarber signing with Cincinnati. And so to me, it's the Red Sox or the Phillies if I had to pick. I'm leaning more towards the Red Sox making that move, Frank.
I would too. If anyone, that's kind of the way we had said it the other day was if it's not the Phillies, it'll be the Red Sox. The Mets will be after that. And then I think there's really only three teams in on Schwarber.
So that was one of the big takeaways. Another big takeaway that Buster Olney and Jeff Passan talked about was the market is tighter than usual. And players are worried about it. Agents have said that the money is generally locked down across Major League Baseball. Labor tensions are looming over teams' budgets. The Blue Jays may be one of the few teams willing to spend. Pirates, Marlins, and A's want to look aggressive publicly. Did we not say that? Did we not call that a couple of days ago?
Yes, we did.
They're being linked to all of these players because they want to look like they're trying, but they don't actually want to spend the money. It's great that that's now getting somewhat reported. They're just saying they want to look in the public eye like they're trying. That's exactly what the plan is for the Pirates and the Marlins and the, who else did they name? The A's.
Yeah, the A's.
The A's might actually sign somebody just because they have to be appealing to Las Vegas. Oh, hey, look at this brand new team we have. Ha, ha, ha. But as much as like Padres fans would be upset that like the Padres are like, budget baseball. It doesn't sound like anybody's really wanting to spend money right now, Frank.
No, and I think a lot of people are setting up for, a lot of these teams are setting up for that salary cap fight. And not to say that they're trying to get within the salary cap that they're wanting, but why go out and spend the money when you know next year you're not going to have to? Why spend it now? Why lock yourself down now when you can get the same guy or a different guy if they want a long-term contract, if they get a one-year deal this year, when you can go out and sign it for cheaper next year? You're going to see a lot of these markets, if that is the case, and if a salary cap comes in, the average going rate for a mid-range starting pitcher isn't going to be $20 million anymore. So why spend $20 million on a mid-range starting pitcher when you can more likely than not get one cheaper next year?
They say a warning sign was Cedric Mullins taking a one-year, $7 million deal so quickly. I think that is kind of a warning sign, because when he signed yesterday, I was like, that's a great sign for Tampa.
Yeah.
1 year, $7 million? I can't believe he signed so fast. And what they put in this particular article, they suggest that mid-tier players are fear losing their seat in a game of musical chairs.
It's not the Padres are returning to the budget baseball days. It's the entire league is doing this.
Correct.
Ramping up and getting ready for what they want to have happen next year, which is a salary cap and salary floor. This is a league-wide thing. This isn't just the team. This isn't just one team.
Do we think, well, with the owners right now with the salary cap and salary floor, if I'm the players, right, I mean, to me, wouldn't you want to get to free agency faster then, right? When you're young? So you become more valuable?
Yes.
I'm curious to see if they negotiate the whole,
the arbitration control.
Because it's, you got 3 years of control and then they get arbitration.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like you should have, if I'm the players, I'm trying to get that number down.
I'd take a year off of each end. I'd say 2 years of control and 2 years of arbitration.
I still think if I'm the players, I want more than that. I mean, the players are going to be clawing and fighting to not have a salary cap or a salary floor. If that is the case, they're going to have to get something very lucrative.
2 years of control, one of arbitration?
Yeah.
Not the time in half.
I think that's probably the best. I think you get 3 years of total control. and however you want.
So no, so 3 years of team control and no
your rookie
arbitration.
Deal is like 3 years, right?
Yeah,
that's what it needs
to
be.
That's fair.
4 years max, and your clock ticks as soon as you get brought up to Major League Baseball. And there needs to be incentives to bring guys up to Major League Baseball.
There are.
Well, they need to be more, right? Like, because I'm thinking from the standpoint of like the players need to get something out of this if they're so worried about the salary. Because the owners are going to get the salary cap and the salary.
There are incentives for the teams to bring players up and keep them up.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think those are enough for them to be like, is this worth burning a year? It's like the same thing with like redshirting in college. Mm-hmm. Is this worth burning a year when we can have another year of this guy later in development? Like, yeah. I don't think the rules that they have in place for the incentives to get guys up to the major league level, those to me are working for the current rules. I don't think they work for the future rules. But I think you could throw something in there where if you bring a guy up and he wins, if he is a finalist or he gets votes for a Rookie of the Year award, maybe you get an extra year of art. Maybe you get to pick up a club option on the contract of the rookie deal. It's almost like those deals with like in the NFL and the rookie deals. You can opt into the fifth year of some of those draft picks or something to lay out. But I think that might be coming too to Major League Baseball. I mean, the players got to get creative with trying to find something that they like that they want back, because this is going to get kind of crazy. So I think the warning signs are there as well. Now, who's going to be the first guy to move, and who's coming after that? Jeff Passan and Buster Olney lay out what they think is going to happen with the hitting market, and there's some stuff in the pitching market that affects the Padres. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Brayden Soprano Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked about one of the Zach Bryan songs that took us back from break. American Nights. That was the song yesterday. And at the end, there was another song that came on that was part of a rejoiner music. That song might be the answer to the question at 115. To win Zach Bryan tickets. Pay attention. If you were paying attention yesterday, we'll remind you. She wants a cowboy. Anyway, let's move on. All right. A lot to unpack from the Jeff Passan and Buster Olney article today. So we wanted to spend a couple segments on it. But we talked about the big market. And this is what I was trying to say about like Kyle Schwarber, right? Like Kyle Schwarber, would you put him in the same conversation in terms of like face of franchise changing player? Like a Juan Soto, like a Shohei Ohtani, like Manny Machado and Bryce Harper. I mean, think about all of the deals, right? Like, think about all of the whatever. all of the big-time free agents over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons. This is one of the first years where you don't have one of those guys. Like, Kyle Schwarber's not that guy. He's a good player. He's a good asset to have on the team. Like, guy hit 50 bombs, 50-plus bombs. Great lineup. Great guy to have in the lineup. You know, Kyle Tucker, kind of the same, but this is not a massive free agent class where it's like, oh my God, we're going to have to, this guy's going to have to wait, and he's going to drive or fly around, and it's not like a big recruiting trip.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like it's going to move things a lot faster than the winter meetings. The winter meetings, to me, I think is going to go by, I think there's going to be a lot of people signing in the winter meetings. I think, and a lot of the problems, or should I say concerns that players have that have been laid out by Buster Olney and Jeff Passan in their article are a lot of signs. And I think, and I agree with them, Cedric Mullins taking a one-year, $7 million deal so fast in a free agency is a warning sign to what the market could be. A lot of guys jumping off. Which hitters could move first? Everybody thinks they're going to wait for Kyle Schwarber, which is interesting to me. I thought Kyle Tucker would kind of set the market, but it sounds like Kyle Schwarber might be the guy, Frank.
Yeah, the guy, Schwarber is going to be the one to set the market. Guys like Ohtani and Soto, and in this year's case, Kyle Tucker, those are not going to be the guys to set the market because they are a step above the market. Schwarber is right on that second level. He is the best of the rest, is how I would put it. So Schwarber is going to be the one that sets the market. And that lets everybody else know, hey, okay, so Pete Alonso is going to be worth this much. If it was a starting pitcher, let's just say, well, Dylan Cease, we'll throw it as Dylan Cease. We know what Dylan Cease is offered, is signed for, so now everyone else is going to fall in line from there. If Schwarber goes early in the winter meetings, you're going to get a flurry of activity. You're going to get a flurry of signings at the winter meetings in Orlando, and if he doesn't, things are going to go a little bit slower.
The other players that are on this list, so they said Kyle Tucker could jump early if Toronto pushes a $400+ million offer, but they have put in this article multiple times, it's not a winter to wait it out. I think we're going to get a lot of signings during the winter meetings. And then yes. I think once Schwarber and Tucker sign, you're going to see guys like Jorge Polanco sign, JT Realmuto, Ha-Seong Kim.
Right, but like I said, Tucker and Bregman are a step above everyone else. So they're not on the same time frame as a Pete Alonso or a Ha-Seong Kim or a Jorge Polanco or whoever else. Those guys are going to take their time and they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to go through the courtship process. They're going to do all that. It's Schwarber and everyone below him that are waiting on. It's everyone below Schwarber who's waiting on Schwarber to sign. Bregman and Tucker are on a completely different plane. They're in a completely different universe as far as the money that they are going to get. So they're not on the same time frame as everybody else, in my mind at least.
Yeah, but I still think it's going to roll through. Mm-hmm. And I think once Kyle Schwarber signs, it's going to be Kyle Schwarber, and then it's going to break off. It's going to be Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. But then also at the same time, Polanco and Realmuto and Kim and Okamoto and all those guys on the second tier are going to sign. And I think Pete Alonso is just going to wait for Schwarber to sign before he makes a decision. And I think it's going to be nonstop.
He's going to want something similar to Schwarber.
I'd be very shocked if any of those guys that we just mentioned sign like the week before spring training.
Correct. Yeah.
Pitching market after Dylan Cease. Top-tier ace is still available. Framber Valdez, Ranger Suarez, Michael King, Merrill Kelly. Framber Valdez is an innings eater, playoff pedigree, huge deal incoming. Ranger Suarez, believe the next off the board after Dylan Cease signed. Merrill Kelly, age 37, but big interest, multi-year offers. You also have legends, veteran legends like Scherzer and Verlander. They are in no rush to sign. They might just get a deal kind of late. Those are arms that I don't really want to worry
those
about.
Those are we need one starter, there's nobody left. Let's go and get an established name to try to help us out.
Does a contender want to add one of these guys?
Exactly. Yeah.
And if they don't, then they're just gonna be like, all right, cool, I'm cool with not pitching. They have the leverage because they can just walk into retirement if they wanted to. The thing that was interesting about Michael King, though, that I want to talk about. Was, and this is what they said about Michael King. Frontline potential shorter-term deal appealing to teams, but the direct quote from the article from Jeff Passan. Right-hander Michael King has widespread interest because of his frontline potential with a willingness to sign for a shorter term than the top starters. We saw the projection yesterday, and I forget who it was. I think it was, it might have been Kylie McDaniel. He had Michael King at like 3 years, $57 million. 3 years, 57. I'm sorry. If Michael King signs for anything under $75 million, I'm going to be honest. Like, Padres fans, that needs to be a guy on the team. Like, he's affordable in that sense. Unless there's something else that you're afraid of. But to me, like, a three-year, $57 million deal? I mean, paying him under $20 million a year to bring him back to San Diego? That, to me, seems like a no-brainer,
yeah.
Not knowing what the finances are for the Padres.
Oh, exactly. That feels more affordable than any of us thought that it would be. I mean, we were talking about having him, what was it, 5 years, 25 is what I said, based off of the three-year, 75 that was reported. So, I mean, I can't see if that is the case, and if the Padres can afford it, I don't see how you let that slide.
I know. Did we get the money on the Adcock sign yet?
Not that I've seen.
Let me pull up our fun website, FanGraphs.
I'll investigate here.
He's not on there yet. He did sign a major league deal, though. I would imagine it's probably super cheap.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen anything from. I'm looking at Casabell's article from yesterday. He hasn't updated it. There's no money number in here.
I look at the... Jeff Passan and Buster Olney are saying the hitter's market's going to move fast. The starting pitcher market might move fast. And then the relief market might be moving slow. There's a flood of relievers on the market. There's more than 100 available arms in the bullpen arms. This is why, again, we continue to say... If you make Mason Miller a starting pitcher, you have options to replace the bullpen, Frank. There's over 100 arms available in the bullpen. I mean, they just signed Ty Adcock for probably league minimum. I don't know what the deal is yet. I don't know what the contract is. But they just signed him. He throws close to 100 miles an hour. He's one of those guys. Probably going for like nothing. There's going to be a lot of arms out there that throw over 100 miles an hour. And here's the thing. I got a family friend who plays for the White Sox organization. He's out there in the, you know, during the offseason, in the Arizona Complex League, basically. You know, they're training. And the White Sox share a facility with the Dodgers. Did I talk to you about this? Because I just saw him the other day. He says they go against the Dodgers minor leaguers every day.
Okay.
They scrimmage every day. He said there's not a single arm that the Dodgers have that doesn't throw over 100 miles an hour. He says every Dodgers arm throws 97 to over 100 miles an hour. And he talked about how it's like, I'll be on deck and the guy in front of, like the guy up at the plate will wear one in the noggin on a fastball over 100 miles an hour and I got to go in there and face it. He's like, most of the guys don't even want to throw a strike. They're just finding guys that throw 100 miles an hour.
And nothing can go wrong.
I was talking to a high school baseball coach in town, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows scouts, obviously. And one of the scouts with the Dodgers said they're scouting like in Africa right now, the Dodgers are. They went and found some kid that throws, that they're teaching him how to play baseball. And he throws over 100 miles an hour. I mean, they're just going out and trying to find just players that can, young player teaching young kids how to play baseball and throwing hundred miles an hour. I know they, and I know a guy that's in development with the Orioles. He's a local kid. He's been working in development and he signs a 1 year deal every year with somebody else. He was with the Orioles last year down in the Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
He said they picked up a kid that had never played baseball before in his life. He's like 15 and he throws 100 miles an hour. And they're just teaching them the mechanics. They're teaching them the game. They're teaching them how to play baseball. They're just finding guys that are just, that could just throw. They're just athletic kids.
How do you never pick up a ball and just automatically throw 100? How? How do you do that?
You know what it is? It's the same conversation about soccer in the United States. How many football players and basketball players and baseball players and athletes in the United States that are elite athletes that are playing these sports that would be playing otherwise be playing soccer if they're in a different, like if soccer was the most important sport in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about, like, think about all the athletes that the NBA has. If the United States had
medical enhancement on a 15-year-old.
Oh, come on. Foul.
I know
foul out Friday.
I know that's a joke, but brother, come on.
He draws the foul.
But think about that. That's the same thing. I mean, in these other countries, like this, we just did the World Cup seeding, right? Soccer is the most popular sport in the world. Every country is like their main sport, soccer. Mm-hmm. They're all playing soccer. How many athletes out there would be like really good other sports players? They just don't play the sport. So there's going to be probably a lot of athletes maybe down in the Dominican Republic or wherever they are having these scouts that are finding athletes that usually play soccer or some other sport. And they're like, oh, never really played baseball. And look how good I am at baseball. You don't have the options in a lot of these places. So they're scouring the world now as the game continues to grow.
It's just a freak athlete is all that is.
But you're getting now to a sense with bullpen arms where like almost everybody now spends, almost everybody now in the bullpen throws over 100 miles an hour. How many Padres throw over 100 miles an hour? Or at least touch 100? Jeremiah Estrada touches 100. Mm-hmm. Adrian Morejon touches 100. Mason Miller, we know, throws over 100.
Bradley Rodriguez
throws 100.
A couple times. Did Morgan?
David Morgan throws in the high 90s, close to 100. I mean, think about that. There's 100, over 100 bullpen arms on the market. Ty Adcock is a guy that like nobody's even heard of. He's only played in 18 games in Major League Baseball. He throws 100.
I love how the bullpen is just becoming no brain, just throw hard.
Throw hard and throw one off-speed pitch.
Throw hard, no think.
Correct. So that's the reliever market. That's why it's like, if you could make this guy a starter, there's not a lot of starters available. If you could make this guy a starter, you could go find bullpen arms. They grow on trees. They actually do grow on trees. Remember to say, like, starting pitching doesn't grow on trees? Big-time hitters don't grow on trees? Bullpen arms are a dime a dozen right now, are finding guys that throw 100 miles an hour. That's the relief market. They expect, Buster Olney and Jeff Passan expect trades to dominate the headlines. They think Ketel Marte could potentially move. They think Stephen Kwan's going to move. They think Mackenzie Gore's going to move. They think Brandon Lau's going to move. Boston is shopping from its outfield surplus. I mean, Jaron Duran could be on the move. They think Miami might trade a starter. Edward Cabrera is the hottest name. St. Louis is debating whether to cash it on Brendan Donovan. We talked about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. Even players with control through 2027 may move due to labor uncertainty and fear of diminished July trade deadline value. That's why Teoscar Hernandez is available on the market. You might see a bunch of trades at the winter meetings next week. It might not be just the free agent signings of Kyle Schwarber. You're going to see a ton of trades. The CBA lingering might cause a lot of chaos at the winter meetings this year.
Yeah, and I saw Nate in the chat say, didn't we say this about the winter meetings last year and none of it happened? There wasn't the imminent threat of a work stoppage,
correct,
a labor stoppage this year like there was last year. There is a very, very real possibility that once the World Series ends next year, baseball, it goes dark for a year. There is a very, very real possibility of that.
Let's get to today's sports thread really quickly.
Get on that group chat, the one that's always blowing up with the biggest sports takes, debates, and breaking news.
You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me.
Yeah, we've got that too. Welcome to the Sports Thread, where we break down the top 5 stories in sports, just like you would with your crew.
Oh, no! Disaster! What a bad idea!
No filters, no silence, just real talk.
Brought to you by QC Kinetics. Stop sitting on the sidelines. QC Kinetics gets you back in the game without surgery. To learn how, visit QCKinetics.com.
All right, let's jump right on into it here.
Number one.
Did you see, by the way, last night after the game, Richard Sherman basically calling out George Pickens for being slow and lazy? Oh my God, George Pickens just had a just posted on his Instagram page. Love Guy's it. Hot!
Love it.
Hot! Dude.
Love it so much.
He called it Richard Soft Blape Sherman, but instead of soft, he uses a different term.
God.
Speaking of being a little soft, the NBA has fined the Cleveland Cavaliers $250,000 for violating the league's player participation policy after resting star guard Darius Garland during a nationally televised game on November 24th. This is Cleveland's second violation this season, following a $100,000 fine for resting Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley earlier in November. The league ruled that Garland was capable of playing since he appeared in the first game of the back-to-back set. The policy is intended to ensure star players are available for nationally televised matchups. Do you think the NBA's strict enforcement of player participation rules is fair to the teams managing injury and fatigue, or does it place too much emphasis on protecting nationally televised games?
What are you talking about again?
So, I love that we listen to each other.
Yes.
It's so good. The NBA fined the Cavaliers $250,000 for resting Darius Garland for their nationally televised game on the 24th. It's the second time they've been hit for the players' participation policy this year.
And so your question was like, should it be more for the nationally televised games?
Do you think the NBA restricts player enforcement of participation policy rules is fair to teams managing injuries and fatigue, or does it place too much emphasis on protecting national games?
I think there needs to be... They need to play. How many games do they play? 80-something? 82? Play the games. They get paid hundreds of millions of dollars to play basketball. Play basketball. This is not a problem in any other league.
No, it's not.
It's not a problem in any other league. Play basketball. It's not like it's baseball where they play every single day. They have nights off. They play well. They get taken care of. Play basketball. You have the entire offseason where you don't play basketball. Just play basketball. I don't understand why this is such a hard concept for the NBA. Just have your players play. People want to watch your good players play. Play basketball. So dumb.
There you go.
Number two.
The one I wanted to get to is a little bit long, but here we go. The NHL is warning against the growing trend of players taking pregame warm-ups without their helmets. Deputy Commissioner Bill Daly emphasized that Rule 9.6 mandates that helmets for all players who enter the NHL in 2019 and 2020 or later. Some teams like the Ottawa Senators and San Jose Sharks recently skated helmetless in Las Vegas in hopes of changing their losing streaks, while the Devils wore hats to honor Brendan Dillon's 1,000th game. It is a safety concern for the NHL. That's why the rule is there.
I don't really care if they wear helmets or not. Make them sign something that says they're not responsible if they get hurt during warm-ups. I mean, they don't have that in the NFL. It's got a lot of guys warm up without gear. I get what the NHL doesn't want to get sued, basically.
More or less. Yes.
New lunchtime hour when we come back.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Brayden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.